This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
Hello and welcome to this week's Courtyard Club Call, episode 32, Sutton away. A nice walk in the park, 3-1 victory away from home. And I am joined today just by Dan, as Jimmy has decided another one to go on holiday, gone away for the weekend. So he didn't get to watch or listen to the stream. So we decided that he wouldn't be very good at giving his opinion on it. So I watched it. I watched the stream. And Dan, you actually went, didn't you?
Yeah, a day trip into London. Yeah, not too bad. And a county game where it didn't actually rain for a change.
Well, yeah, I mean, before we do sort of, I just wanted to, because obviously you was there. Now, DC at the end, in his post-match, mentioned, obviously, we could see the wind. We could see how bad the wind was. I think it was all over the country, wasn't it? It was really bad. And he mentioned about the pitch not being very good. How did you see it being pitch side?
It looked green. It looked green. It looked like there was grass on it. Obviously, I assume Dave was on about, obviously, it being lumpy or not, like a bowling green that we're used to. But, it wasn't like Salford, where you could see from the stands that there was more sand on it than was grass. It looked green and looked like there was grass on it, but that same again might not mean it's the condition that we're used to at Edgeley Park.
Yeah, we are definitely spoilt with that by Mr. Cash, aren't we? He's superb. So, anyway, the starting lineup as Fotmob, we've got Ben Hinchliffe in net. Then we had, it looked like a back five, Noyle, Byrne, Horsfall, Pye, Torre. Then midfield of Camps, Sars and Bailey. And then up front, Madden and Olafi. Did you see us playing? Is it a 5-3-2? I know we talked about the formation quite a lot.
Pre-match, not a chance. But once you've seen the Sutton lineup and the Sutton players, you can understand quite quickly why Byrne was brought into that. Defensive three. And obviously then, because you've obviously got Berno, that you push Noyle as more as your wing back with Torre on the other side. But you could see straight away why Byrne was brought into that lineup.
Yeah, I think it did surprise me, but then went again, and I'm pretty sure we did say this when we played them at home, they're massive. They are a big physical side. But they didn't seem to play to their strengths. If they'd have had that number five from Wimbledon, you know what I mean? You could see them scoring an extra 10 or 15 goals a season with the amount of height and the physicality that they've got throughout that team. I thought they looked massive. They're 6'7", one of the centre-backs.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's forward Smith. He was a giant. And Suomi, I think it was also their number four. Yeah, he was a tall lad. I think he was 6'7", like you say. But yeah, they didn't allow. Callan has mentioned before that, you know, obviously pre-match that they're fighting for something to stay up, but we're fighting for something that we believe is just as important or more important.
Yeah.
And the word fight was, it was man to man. You have to win your man to man battles, especially Burn, Horsfall and Pye. You know, and they did their jobs brilliantly. You know, Matt, you know, they fought to be, you know, to dominate that game. And it started off from, like, say, the first minute. They were just absolutely on the front foot.
Yeah, we was all over them, weren't we? So, yeah, I mean, brilliant start to the first half. A very nice short corner.
Yeah, same again. And it was obviously a worked set piece involving Sarcevic. Same again, brilliant ball. Burn, same again, going to the far post, make a header. To be honest, it's brilliant that Paddy got his hat trick, but it's a shame that Burn didn't crack that header straight into the back of the net, because that the whole movement deserved that. It's gone through the goalkeeper's arms, it's hit the crossbar, and it's just Paddy won't score an easier goal all season, to be honest.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, with Paddy, that's experience, that's position and play, knowing to be in the right place at the right time, and that's exactly what he did, you know. And yeah, we just tapped it into an empty net for him. But same again, even before that, we obviously had a chance at goal before that, that's obviously worked to the corner. You know, so straight away from kickoff, we're kicking with the wind behind us, so we've got the wind behind us in that first half, which was, like I say, a really weird one, because it didn't feel too bad at sort of head height, but as soon as that ball went up 20 feet up in the air, it was, you know, it was coming back. I mean, the goalkeeper was struggling to get it over the halfway line.
Yeah, do you think that it's quite windy at Carrington? Because we seem to cope better than most other teams playing with the wind or against the wind. You know, Hinchliffe seems to be, he just seems to be out, and he knows, you know, just to take that little bit off most of the time with his kicking to make it that it's not going to go through. I know it did go through a few times when we were kicking with the wind behind us, but then when we changed around into the second half, you could see him sort of almost like, you know, a daisy cutter in it almost, didn't he? So he was cutting it under the wind, whereas their keeper was lifting it right up into the wind. And as you say, it was probably getting to the halfway line and then blowing back, you know, past the centre circle, wasn't it? Quite a lot of the time.
Yeah. Their goalkeeper was kicking it. You know, it was getting to the comical match, actually, because their goalkeeper were kicking it out into the touch more, because we knew the wind would get in it. And if it weren't blowing it straight back, it was blowing it to the right-hand side of the pitch. To the goalkeeper's right-hand side and kicking it out. And you think, so, well, why aren't you just angling your kick and kicking it to the left-hand side, so when it drops, it's going to drop more into the centre of the pitch instead of going straight out. But, yeah, no, we were just absolutely dominant. I mean, you know, for that first, till we scored that first goal. And then it was just like a breath of fresh air, that, you know, confidence and everything just came to the lads. And they just wanted to play football, and you could see they were enjoying it as well. The pressure was off them, enjoying it, knocking it about lovely. Sarcevic, not back to his best, but definitely a level up from where he was the week before. Definitely improving with the game time he's getting. And, you know, at times, back at pulling strings again in the middle of midfield for me. Camps, definitely same again, better than last week. And the other one was obviously all the way through the game, which was different. Obviously, Noyle for me was the out ball, all the time for the switch. And he was the out ball on the wing, but where Touré was good, but they utilized, I thought, Touré's long throw more this game than they ever have done in previous games.
Yeah, they did seem to, didn't they? I mean, quickly go through the stats. First half, 51% possession to us, 49% possession to them. which I thought was quite surprising. I thought, as you mentioned, I thought we did dominate it a lot more. Our XG was 1.36 compared to their 0.92. They had two shots, one on target. We had 10 shots and two on target. Sorry, four on target. So, yeah, two on target, didn't they? They had the free kick, which looked like it was going to be a right footer, a left footer, and then the right footer took it. Good save by Hinchliffe, out for a corner. And then after that, we were just all over them. Second goal, it was a Nick Powell free kick, wasn't it, from Sars? The ball
He's won the free kick, and he's been pushed in the back, so he's gone down on the ball, lied on the ball, stood straight up, saw Noel make his run, and like you say, it's a fantastic Nick Powell-esque pass cross field. The hardest part for Noel is just getting the ball under control, which weren't too hard. He's pulled it back then for Madden. That same again, bread and butter for Madden. You wouldn't want anybody else coming on the end of that ball.
No, Noel, great ball out to Noel. Did well, say, getting to the line and just cutting it back for Madden. And we were absolutely cruising, weren't we? We controlled them well. There was no real threat, I didn't think, from them during that first half. And then they get a penalty. Did you think it was a penalty when being at the ground?
No, I didn't. I thought it was soft as anything. I thought there was a foul on Touré.
I was just going to say, there was a push back on Touré in the build-up.
Yeah, involving that same player. Then I thought, it's marginal. Was he the player offside when the ball was played through? You couldn't really tell from where we were. And then I didn't even think there was a foul by Pye, to be honest. I thought it was just shoulder to shoulder. I thought he was actually falling down. He was already on the way down before Pye actually made contact with him.
Yeah. We will mention about the referee, but it was Mr. Singh, wasn't it? And he's done a Premier League game this year, hasn't he? Because isn't he the first Muslim to do a Premier League game for 20 years or something along that line? So do you think that was more of a Premier League penalty rather than a League Two penalty?
You
seem to get them more, don't you? Because it's supposedly less physical in the Premier League than it is down in League Two.
I don't, in any division, I don't think that's a penalty, to be honest.
Right.
He's not gone to play the ball. It's a contact sport, football. If he's put a foot out to try and tackle him, or he's got hold of his shirt and he's pulling him down, then you could argue. But it's literally a coming together.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was no way a penalty for me. That's obviously giving them hope or a chance. And same again. It's one of them ones. Momentum swings, and it could have been one of them games. And there've been plenty of times watching County where we've seen that go in, that is a penalty, and then before you know it, it's 2-2 at half time.
Yeah,
and you think to yourself, how are we drawing this game? But with all credit to them, they've not really taken that momentum. Once they've scored the penalty, we've then sort of like settled the game down again, killed the momentum for them, and then obviously before half time, we've then gone for that goal. And same in that third goal from Paddy's, is you could sense there was another goal coming. There was a lot of momentum, a lot of pressure. I think there was like a good 5 minutes that they didn't even get out of their half.
There was, going back to the penalty though, did you, and you've mentioned this quite a few times about penalty takers and whatnot, because there was a lot of like goings on and arguing stuff, and their big number nine grabbed the ball and held the ball, didn't he? And then at the last minute, once it was all sorted, he gave it to the guy that was taking the penalty. Yeah. You've mentioned about us doing that with Paddy grabbing the ball, whether it's him taking it or not.
Every team should be doing that. It's as simple as that. Go and get your biggest lump to stand on the penalty spot so nobody can scuff it up. Hold the ball like he's looked like he's taking it. Take all the hassle and the flack and then just pass it on to the person that's just nice and cool and collected to take the penalty. Same again. It's a little bit of tactics. I don't know what was going on, but we all know as well, same again, the longer the penalty taker has to wait to take the penalty, the more chance he is of missing it or not scoring it. So same again, I don't know what was going on. There seemed to be a yellow card flashed about.
Yeah, Torre got a yellow card. I think, I don't know what that was. I presume that he was talking about, obviously, the push in the back, saying that that should have been a foul. And he's obviously talked his way into the book, as they say. Yeah. It was a good penalty, straight down the middle. You know, if Hinchley hadn't have dived, he'd have saved it. But I don't think any keeper nowadays pretty much stands in the middle, does he? They make a decision, they go one, they go left or they go right. So no fault for Ben for the penalty at all. And then, as you say, they could have built momentum. They could have come at us, could have been 2-2, but we just didn't allow them. I think 3 or 4 minutes afterwards, we seem to be trying to find our feet again, just a bit of momentum taken away from us. But then we certainly stepped it up again. What a third goal. I mean, it's a good pass of Torre, that pass over the top to Noyle. Noyle pulls it back and Paddy Madden with another thunder bastard.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think nobody thought he was going to shoot from there at that angle. I don't think that caught us all off surprise. Especially when there's players in the box waiting for the ball. And same again, at times we do like to pass it around the area opposed to having that shot. We might have been guilty of that in other games. But he's, like I say, he's, as soon as that ball's come to him, he's got one thing in mind. And it's one end, when he's hit it, you think, well, how's that gone through everybody? Because that's not like a clear shot at goal that he's had. You know, there was defenders in the way, there was county players in the way, the goalkeeper, and it's absolutely rocketed in the top corner.
Yeah.
And I just think it doesn't matter if the goalkeeper gets a touch to it.
No, it's taking him into the back of the net with him, is it?
Yeah, it's that hard. It's unstoppable, to be honest. Goal of the season, I don't know, but it's definitely a contender.
Well, I mean, I think since Crawley, we've scored similar goals. We've scored goal of the seasons in pretty much every game, haven't we?
Yeah.
Since then, different players scoring them, but we're still scoring, screamers. I think that was so long. May that long may that continue. Anything else to add for the first half?
No, I mean, I think obviously that third goal from Paddy is just absolutely killed the game. Yeah, you know, we've talked about scoring goals at the right time. That goal was, I think it was the last minute of or injury time of.
Yeah, it was just in time.
That goal for me killed it off. We know going into the second half, same again, we start halves very, very brightly. So, mm-hmm. That goal, knowing that, the way that we would come out and start that second half, for me, that was the game won on that goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think any momentum that they thought they could have had was definitely taken away from them. It changes the half-time team talk, probably, for both teams. If it's 2-1, they probably think, we can go and have a go at this. And obviously for us, it makes it that we've got that cushion and we can just do what we want. We can control, we can take the pace out of the game. We've still got that we can pick it up again if they did get one back. So, it's probably one of the, not necessarily the dullest second halves, but it was the most controlled second half that I've seen. There wasn't, going off the stats, we had 52% possession to their 48. They had two shots, neither of them on target. We had four shots, and just one on target. It was a very quiet and controlled second half. I'm struggling what else to talk about.
No, it started really, obviously, we've been making that substitution, bringing Bailey off for Wood at half-time, and you sort of think to yourself, well, obviously Bailey got an injury or something like that, or he's a bit... But it weren't, obviously, Dave said it at half-time, after full-time, sorry, in his post-match, that, you know, halfway through the first half, with the wind and everything, he's seeing that the game will need Wood be that hold-up man with the wind and stuff and control the game. And same again, you know, people have criticised Challoner for his tactics or not having a game plan.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Plan B and stuff like that. But same again, this whole game for me was absolutely another masterclass. Making the right choices, picking the right players for the occasion, making the right substitutions at the right time. Because let's say Wharton, he's come on, and yes, we all can say that he's in a bad run of form, as in not scoring a goal. And in front of in that 6-yard box, everything seems to be bouncing off him or not going his way. But what you can't deny that he runs, he works hard for the team, and he carries on going. And for me, that's all I want to say. It doesn't matter if he's out of form, he's out of form. Every player will be out of form at some point in their season. But what I want to see is just someone that just carries on doing the basics, running hard, closing down, you know, challenging, fighting for the ball, and he did that. He took away their threat of obviously the height and the loft. Obviously, we've got the wind against us in the second half, and we seem to cope with the wind a lot better than what Sutton did.
Yeah,
and play with the wind opposed to try and fight it as such. And I just thought the whole second half was just absolutely a perfect managed performance.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah. You know, everything we did, the substitutions he brought on were right in the right places. You know, if they little bit of momentum or they felt they were building up steam, that certain players came off. I thought it was the second half. It was just a managed performance.
It certainly was, as you say. It was dull to watch, but in a strange way, it was interesting, as you said, just for the amount of control of the game that we had, just didn't let them do anything. We were absolutely... It was good, but dull to watch if you was a neutral or anything like that.
I think that might have changed, obviously, if there weren't a 2-goal lead, if they had scored and, you know, the nerves would have come back. Obviously, with a 2-goal lead as such, you know, there was no nerves from County fans either. There weren't that angst that was feeding onto the players and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, the players looked comfortable. The fans in the stand, it felt comfortable.
I think it's always, we do say it quite a lot, it's that early goal, isn't it? And to get it within 3 minutes, that I think that made a massive difference to the whole of the game. And again, the third goal just before half time gives us back that 2-goal cushion, and it just makes it comfortable for us to control it and do what we want. Do you Do you think Sutton will get relegated? Do you think there was enough about them? I know they, because again, we seem to be playing teams at the top of the form table every time that the last few weeks, we seem to have been playing teams that have had good results and we're just turning them over.
But we seem to be playing the same sort of team. These were very Wimbledon-esque, I thought. Mm. Yeah, when Wimbledon were at Edgeley Park only a couple of weeks ago, I thought they were very Wimbledon-esque in the way they went out and try and play the game. And the problem with Sutton is I think they're running out. They've played more than games than Colchester.
Yes, yeah.
If they were level pegging on the games played, I would say these have probably got more about them to get out, but they'll run out of games, which will be their downfall, to be honest, I think.
Yeah, 1 point above Colchester, but Colchester have actually got 3 games in hand. So, that's a big
one. And obviously, they'll lose one of them games in hand on Tuesday. So, technically, they've got 2 games in hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a big struggle for Sutton to stay up. I think it will be Sutton and Forest Green for me that will go down. I think Grimsby have just got enough to stay up. Colchester, you would think that they seem to be the draw specialists at the minute. I think since Cowley's come in, the Cowley brothers, they've drawn 8 or 9 of 10 or of 11, I think they have. So hopefully, as I say, there won't be a draw on Saturday. On Tuesday night against us. It was a good all-round performance. Man of the match. I mean, obviously, Paddy Madden gets it on FOTMob. He gets a rating of 9.6. Pretty much all the players are above 7. Bailey only got 6.8 and Pye only got 6.4. I guess that's probably just because he gave the penalty away. I think that's why.
Yeah.
I thought he had a good, solid game apart from the penalty decision.
Apart from Paddy was a 9. I thought Sarcevic about right, but the rest were a 7. Everybody was a 7 easily. Even Bailey for his first half, he's not done anything wrong to get whipped off at half-time apart from Challenger wanting to make a tactical substitution. Byrne looked like he'd been playing all season, to be honest. Yeah. Didn't look out of place. Same again, Torre. Same again, another confident performance. Got in some good attacking plays, positions at times, but same again, just felt they utilised his long throw a lot more than what I've seen in previous games. I always thought Alafi was going to start against his former team. And same again, some good running in behind. I mean, I don't know why, like I say, Pye's got such a low score, because I thought...
I can only think it's because he's given the penalty away.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I don't remember him any other time like making a mistake or being uncomfortable or anything like that. It was just, I'm guessing it is just solely because he's gave the penalty away.
Yeah.
That's the only thing, because I don't think he was any worse than Byrne or Horsfall at the back. So that's the only thing that I can think of. They didn't get anything above, they've only got 2-3 players above 6. Everybody else was below 6 for them, for Sutton. Very comprehensive. And now that means that we just need 4 points to guarantee promotion. I know realistically it's probably 3 with the goal difference that we've got. So hopefully win against Colchester and then on to Saturday and wrap it up at Edgeley Park against Morecambe.
I mean, it's in our hands. Either way you look at it, you've got our two games in hand. You win both them games in hand, we're up. You win our 2 home games at the end of the season, Morecambe and Accrington, we're up. So, for me, it's in our own hands. I'd rather, I think, get Colchester out of the way, win there. Technically, we're up, because I can't see MK Dons overturning our goal difference. And then it's looking at staying at the top of the table for me.
Yeah.
Get objective 1 out the way, bump, done. And then the next objective is to win the title. And like I say, that can be, same again, for me, can be done within the next, I think the next two games after that, you know, Morecambe and then Notts County.
Yeah.
Leaving, like I say, the last home game to be a celebration. And let's be honest, the Wrexham game, we can all switch off and go to the pub and enjoy the drink regardless of the score.
Yeah. And just mention Paddy Madden hat-trick, and he scored a hat-trick at Edgeley Park against Sutton, the first player since the 1950s to score against the same team in the same season. And he's the first, so that there was, because I did get Ben County shirts to verify this information for me. There was a guy in the 50s who did it against Chester in the Cup. But then I think County said that there was somebody in 1930s that did it against somebody. So it's the first time for a long, long time that any player has scored a hat-trick in the same season in the league against the same team.
Yeah, and I think he's only... Is he now level with Alan Armstrong?
Is he six away from being the record goal scorer?
No, he's a long way from the record goal scorer. Right. I think he might be from getting into the top 10
okay.
of the all-time goal scorers. I think he's level or one behind Alan Armstrong now.
Right.
And there's a few players that are quite close together on that sort of like mark with Jim Gannon and Armstrong and stuff like that. You know, and a lot of people, he's one of them ones. He's I think he's 34 now, 35 next birthday. He's running around like a 24-year-old. Well, it's one of them ones, though. Over the season, you know, there's parts of the season where he did look knackered. Let's be absolutely honest.
Yeah.
But, every player looks like they're carrying a knock or they're not fit at some point in the season. Me, I would have given him a contract after the Doncaster away game for his performance there. I'd have put a new contract straight in front of him. Regardless, next season's League One, it's a tougher challenge. Would he start every game for me? I don't think so. But no. Would I want him in your squad? Definitely. Because he's a leader. He's an absolute leader. He sets the standards. He demands and expects a certain level off everybody on that pitch. And but it's all down to Paddy at the end of the day. How much of an involvement is he going to have? How much game time is he actually going to have? And does he want to, be that part involved, or does he want more game time? I wouldn't begrudge him if he moved on. I'd wish him all the best. But same again. No, he shows his worth. He's absolute.
I always think he's. You can see how good he is when it comes to the end of the season. He always seems to come good for us, doesn't he? When we're in these chasing for titles, chasing for promotion, he suddenly comes up trumps in some important games and things like that, doesn't he?
He's a big game player for the big games. When you need him the most, in the big moments. And if you look back all his time at County, the big moments in big games, he's thereabouts. But like I say, he looks fit and strong. But let's be absolutely honest. We know, I think another stat is this County is the most prolific he's actually been at a club in his career, I think. As well as another stat I think I saw banding about. I'd give him another contract. I'd give him another 12
months. I'd definitely give him at least another 12 months. Definitely. Yeah. So, right. Final one, we didn't say anything with regards to the ref. Again, I don't think he's, maybe it wasn't a penalty, as you said. Apart from I think he was pretty decent.
Oh, I thought he's probably one of the worst refs I've seen.
Really?
Yeah. Considering this was a ref that, and then this is not his fault as such, that he was a Premier League ref and then the Premier League and the FA give him such a fanfare and build him up to a big thing, and then they've knocked him back down to League Two. I think the PGMLL, or whatever they call themselves, really need to have a look at themselves, because they've actually built this bloke up to failure, like the referee before. You know, big, massive fanfare, media hype and all that lot. I thought he was... And not just him, but the actual... the linesman as well. So the refereeing team, where I thought were absolutely abysmal, to be honest. Okay. The referee, positional-wise, not just the decisions, but positional-wise, there was about three times that players nearly running into him because he's in the wrong position.
Yes, actually, yes, I do remember that now.
So. Yeah, you know, and little things like that for me. You know, decisions are all subjective. What I think and what he sees are two different things. I'm not, you know, so the penalty, I thought it was soft. He's obviously saw something different. That's fair enough. But, you know, getting to the right positions and stuff like that. With the linesman, there was an incident in the first half where their player's fallen on the ball and there's no foul involved, absolutely falling on it. And he's basically lying on top of the ball. We're trying to get the ball out and he gives us the free kick to them. Well, it's obstruction. It's simple as that. If you're lying on the ball, it's obstruction. It should be a free kick to us. Yeah. And so I just thought that as a refereeing team, I didn't think they were very good. Considering, like you say, the whole Premier League hype and stuff like that. And there was times, like I say, I just thought, why are you standing in that position? You know, you're getting in the way of things. You're getting in the way of the game. Players running into you. I know at half time that their manager absolutely went and ripped him a new one as he was on the pitch. So even they weren't happy, obviously, with his performance. I'm just glad it was a 3-1 win and there weren't, you know, that penalty wasn't something that would have been a crucial decider. But, not like I say, but same again, anybody, he's a human being. If you've been built up by the FA and the Premier League to be this, that and the other, and you're refereeing the Premier League, but then... you know, the few weeks after your League Two, you know, it's not like he's even doing the Bristol Street Motors at Wembley at the weekend or anything like that, or a Championship game. He's gone from Premier League to League Two, Sutton away, League Two. That must absolutely destroy your confidence and self-esteem. And I feel sorry because I think he's probably been used as a bit of a media hype for other people's agenda, and he's been used a bit, so you know, hopefully, same like the referee we had the week before. Hopefully, you know, a good pre-season, clear their heads in the whatever level they start at next season, they can sort of build up their career again.
Okay, fair enough. I think that about wraps it up. We have Colchester away tomorrow night. You're going to that as well, aren't you, Dan?
Yeah, I'll be there. Good. I think there'll be a lot. I think what I'm gathering, I think there's a lot of fans actually that are going to go now of the fear of missing out. Hopefully, weather's nice and sunny at the moment. So we can work out what pitch we're playing on when we get there. If the lines are still drawn for two pitches. And it should be a good day. I'm hoping now, obviously, Ben's now level pegging for the Golden Glove Award with the Wimbledon goalkeeper. So I'm hoping that, you know, I've got clean sheets now. For me, we're going to get promoted. It's only a matter of time. I just want to see clean sheets because I think Hinchliffe deserves that acknowledgement for being the best League Two goalkeeper at the end of the season.
Yeah, perfect. Right, I will be back on Wednesday, home alone again. So expect another car crash. We will have the live show. We've got a couple of guests on there. We will have Morecambe fan on to give us the Oppo review before the weekend's game with them. Apart from that, I will see you on Wednesday and I will see you, Dan, hopefully at the weekend of the Morecambe game.
Yeah, I'll be there as well.
Okay. Cheers, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.